Hello, this is Julie Candler with the BBC News. The Mayor of New York, Eric Adams, has blamed external actors for radicalising young people after tensions flared over pro-Palestinian protests on two university campuses. He said police in New York had carried out a massive operation to remove protesters occupying part of Columbia University. Mr. Adams accused outside elements of fueling anti-Semitism.
There is a movement to radicalise young people. I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it. This is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalising our children. And I'm not going to allow that to happen as the mayor of the city of New York.
In Los Angeles, there were violent overnight clashes at the UCLA campus where counter-protesters attacked a camp set up by pro-Palestinian demonstrators. Israel's opposition leader Yair Lapid has told the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken that Israel's prime minister has no excuse to not support a deal for the release of Israeli hostages. He said if some right-wing members of Benjamin Netanyahu's government resigned in protest, he would step in to ensure he still has a majority. Israel has reopened the Erez crossing into northern Gaza to allow more humanitarian aid into the famine-threatened territory. The move has long been called for by international aid agencies. Rebels in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo have captured a key mining town. Here's Will Ross.
A spokesman for the M23 rebels denied Rubaya town was targeted for economic reasons, but it is rich in coltan, the mineral used to make batteries for electric vehicles and mobile phones. He said the purpose of capturing Rubaya was to chase out the militias allied to the Congolese army, some of whom neighbouring Rwanda says are a direct threat to the country's security. The Congolese government accuses Rwanda of backing the M23 rebels and stealing the mineral wealth, something Kigali denies. Much of the fighting in eastern Congo over the last 3 decades has been over Congo's natural resources.
Police in Istanbul have fired tear gas and rubber bullets in an effort to stop a banned May Day rally from going ahead. Here's Paul Moss.
May 1st is a traditional day for protests, and Istanbul's famous Taksim Square has long been a focus for demonstrations of all kinds. So Turkish police weren't taking any chances. They'd blocked the square the day before, but demonstrators moved in to remove the barricades, leading to clashes with police there and in other areas of the city. Reports suggest more than 200 people have been arrested, but the leader of the country's main opposition party, the CHP, said they would keep on fighting until Taksim is free.
World News from the BBC. The authorities in southern Brazil say at least 8 people have died and a dozen are missing after intense rain battered the region for several days, leading to widespread flooding. The governor of the state of Rio Grande do Sul has asked the central government to send rescue workers and helicopters to evacuate nearly 1,500 stranded people from dozens of municipalities. Heavy rain is expected to continue in the coming days. The president of Portugal, Marcelo Rebelo de Sousa, has joined leaders from former Portuguese colonies in Africa at a ceremony in Cape Verde to mark the 50th anniversary of the release of political prisoners from a concentration camp that was in use for 3 decades. Alison Roberts reports.
Cape Verde became independent from Portugal in 1975, the year after a coup in Portugal ended a long dictatorship there. But for decades, the island of Santiago hosted a camp where, all told, more than 600 men were imprisoned. First Portuguese opponents of the dictatorship, then colonial subjects suspected of working for independence. At Wednesday's ceremony, the presidents of Portugal, Cape Verde and Guinea-Bissau and Angola's Minister of Defence paid their respects to compatriots who suffered and in some cases died there. The camp is now a museum for which the local authorities aim to secure UNESCO World Heritage status.
Rights groups have condemned the jailing of a women's rights activist by a counter-terrorism court in Saudi Arabia. It's been revealed that Manahel al-Otaibi was sentenced in a secret hearing in January to 11 years in prison for her choice of clothes and views she expressed online. Ms al-Otaibi had called for an end to the male guardianship system. Japanese government figures show the country has nearly 4 million abandoned homes as a shrinking population reduces the demand for living space. Many are left empty when their elderly owners die or go into nursing homes. BBC News.